Welcome to another edition of Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This program is all about music and the people who make it. Tonight, my guest is Steve Forbert, a singer-songwriter who left his hometown of Meridian, Mississippi in his early 20s. With a head full of dreams, he headed to the Big Apple in search of a record deal. After playing for some change at Grand Central Station, Steve eventually moved into the club scene at a time when rootsy rock was falling out of favor, and the punk rock new wave sounds of groups like the Talking Heads and Blondie had taken over radio airwaves and the pop charts. But still, Forbert managed to score a hit with his folk pop song, Romeo's Tune, which went top 20 and put him on the radar in 1979. Now, 15 albums later, Steve Forbert's newest songs are found on his latest album, Compromised, which reunites the artist with producer John Simon for the first time since Forbert's 1979 release, Jackrabbit Slim, which gave the world Romeo's Tune. Before bringing Steve on to chat with us about his career and his latest collection of songs, let's sample the title track from it. And on the flip side, Steve Forbert will join us. Compromised. It's a title track from the new album by tonight's musical guest, Steve Forbert. Steve, are you there?
Hey, Tom.
Hi, Steve. Congratulations, first of all, on a wonderful new album.
Well, thank you, Tom. Thank you.
Like so many of your albums, the songs take on a life of their own. Each is unique. Big Comeuppance, for instance, has a jazzy kind of feel to it. Compromise, title track, reminds me a lot of early Byrds and McGuinn style. Devil is a nostalgic rock. We've got the blue-collar, Dylan-esque dark side of things on Rollin' Home. The songs are so unique. Were they written with this one album in mind, or were these songs that you have been holding for the right time?
No, they're all from the last couple of years of songwriting. Really, by the time we're speaking now, really from about the last 3 years, it takes a couple of years these days to write about, 12, 13, 14 songs that I'm happy with. So these are all a new body of work and pretty much where I've been, where I've been at, as they say.
You're with a new label as well, Rockridge Music, which is a great label for the Americana-type sound. Are you happy with this relationship thus far?
Well, yeah, and I'm glad to have a partner in crime. So, sure, and we're getting the records into the stores, and I'm going to do some in-store appearances and try to keep the old beast breathing, retail record stores.
Steve Forward fans will find his latest album, Compromise, now available both at brick-and-mortar retail stores and online music sites. Here's another track from it. This one's called Whatever, Man. And whatever you do, don't leave the dial, because Steve Forward is with us on the other side, along with more great tunes, new and old.
See me walking down the sidewalk, laughing deliriously. But I say people don't take life seriously enough, or they wouldn't take it so seriously. Whatever, man, don't let it drive you crazy. Don't let it blow your mind. Whatever, man, however long your days be, nights just work out fine. I've made some small talk, but theirs is microscopic. Glad I'm off the northbound plane. You've reinforced my worst suspected thoughts of what's inside of some folks' brain. Someone's got a big beige Buick in the fast lane, crawling all of 55. Who'd give a snail the keys to start a car and let him leave the house and drive? Whatever, man, don't let it drive you crazy. Don't let it blow your mind. Whatever, man, however long your days be, nights could well just work out. To more than anyone might need. But that's the way it's been, and it probably always will be. Ever was a cause decree. Whatever, man, don't let it drive you crazy. Don't let it blow your mind. Whatever, man, however long you taste me, nights could well just work out fine. Yeah.
listening to Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm Tom Lounges, your host. That was a tasty roots rocker called Whatever Man by my musical guest, Steve Forward, from his latest album, Compromise, now available on Rock Ridge Records. Steve, you just got back from a tour of the UK. Is there a big market for Americana and folk music there and in Europe?
Well, I don't know. I've been playing over there for decades now. I get over at least once a year, and this time I went through Scandinavia, which I do at least once a year, too. Is there a big market? I do see that Jason Isbell is they've moved his show into a bigger hall in Stockholm. So I think there's a nice thing for it if you have enough of a name factor. I have enough of a name factor to go over once a year and play some nice places, and I love it.
Is radio more open there than it is here as far as playing music from artists such as yourself? I mean, of course, you had a big hit with Romeo's Tune so many years ago, but radio has not been all that embracing to a lot of the artists of your style. Is that different overseas?
I am not the best person to ask about that because I'm really kind of a hit-and-run visitor, and I only see trains and planes and taxis and motel rooms and venues, generally speaking. But, Tom, it's probably worse, you know. It's probably more pop across the board in Scandinavia. And, you know, in England, in the UK, you've always had your BBC and a couple of other outlets. And those are pretty restricted, too. There's a lot more flexibility with our formats here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. With such a deep catalog of songs at your disposal, this is studio album 16 at my count. Do you work from a playlist at the live gigs, or do you just go where the audience and the night takes you?
It's really the latter, and that's part of what I really love about it. As you know, I play solo a lot, mm-hmm. which keeps it so spontaneous. I have a few songs I like to pick from to start with, and obviously Romeo's Tune comes at the end, and I have a few that I usually end with. But the middle is up for grabs, and a lot of what keeps it so much fun for me is that I would hate to just be in one of a nostalgic band that just had to play a certain set every night, or, you know, it's not jazz, but it does vary a lot for me, and it stays very spontaneous. And I've kind of lived off of that love, you know, of loving the thing not being the same from night to night.
Now, you are doing a full band tour at this point, is that correct? Or are you doing your one-man show?
I'm doing the one-man show for the immediate future, and I may put together a quartet here on the Jersey Shore for next year and just slowly let that grow, maybe rehearse it, you know, sort of under the radar here on the shore for a few weeks and just see if I can't get a nice, fun little group of people from around here to play with next year.
Well, it's time to sample another cut from your new album, Compromise. Let's slip in this jazzy little number called Big Comeuppance. More with Steve Forward when Midwest Beat returns.
A big comeuppance is a thing that bring you down to the ground. A big comeuppance says tonight you won't be wearing no crown. You never see it coming from nowhere, especially not no strawberry blonde. A big comeuppance is a thing, you'll have to make it beyond. A big comeuppance is that thing that put a dent in your day. A big comeuppance is a thing and won't leave much you can say. You know it's going to mess up your weekend, however hard you try to pretend. A big comeuppance brings a lot of stuff you thought to an end. I mean to tell you so. You might as well now know. A big comeuppance is a thing that shoots you down from your perch. you'll have to reassess your research. She only drove back up here to tell you some words she'd been rehearsing, I bet. A big comeuppance is a thing I guess you won't soon forget.
Called Big Comeuppance from my guest Steve Forbert's latest album, Compromised, now available on Rockridge Records, in both brick-and-mortar stores and online music retailers.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that track does swing, and it's got a little bit of a Las Vegas feel to it.
I would agree with it, yeah.
You know, kind of a gambling thing.
Steve, let's talk about another cut that's a standout on this new album. The only one, in fact, that you didn't write. You did an interesting cover of Stephen Sondheim's Send in the Clowns. Your treatment of this pop classic is quite unique compared to the sorrowful deliveries given to it over the years by folks like Frank Sinatra, Judy Collins, and others. You come out with an upbeat version, an energetic version. What made you take on that song and give it the treatment you did?
I've wanted to take a shot at my version for about 5 years now. I guess the answer is that if you look at the lyrics, they aren't necessarily the sort of laconic, you know, bruised version necessarily that we're used to. They, you know, they're also kind of sarcastic. And I thought, hey, why not take this, you know, up tempo and let it, you know, kind of be a folk rock thing for a minute.
Have you been doing that song live?
I've done it live a few times, and I even do it solo, believe it or not, in this tempo. But it doesn't have to be a slow song, does it?
No. You certainly proved that with this album.
Thank you.
He's a little rich. Are we a pair? We'll be here at last on the ground, and you in mid-air, sending the clowns. There ought to be clowns. Isn't it bliss? Don't you approve? One who keeps tearing. Where are the clowns?
Well, that's a fresh take on an old pop classic, Send in the Clowns. It's on the new Steve Forbert album, Compromised. Steve is my musical guest this evening here on Midwest Beat. I'm Tom Lounges. Steve, on this new album, Compromised, you reunited with John Simon, your producer, from the 1979 breakthrough album, Jackrabbit Slim. What brought about this reunion? Why was this the right time for the two of you to, provide a united front once again, musically speaking?
And what was it like to be back in the studio with John?
Well, it was great to be back in there with him because we had a band of friends of mine from Cape Cod live on the floor all at once, and that's where John's at his best, arranging and organizing a group of musicians live on the fly. So it was terrific, and I was really grateful to have his help there for that. Because I was there singing and playing guitar, too, and it's just great to have someone looking at the song and with some objectivity there. And John's a record producer, period. I had tried to get him on the previous record, which was called Over With You. You may remember, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
But I called him too late, and he couldn't fly out to California and help us with that record. So, you know, I kept at it. A couple of years went by, and I called him first for this project, and as you can see, it worked out.
There's a variety of producers on here, four in all. Why not just stay with John? What, it's almost like there's so many cooks in the kitchen here, but it still worked.
Well, that's a fair question. What happened was is that John was planning to go vacation in Florida. I say vacation, I mean winter in Florida, which he does every year. And we were looking at a time slot with this group of musicians. We came to him in Woodstock, but he only could work for about, I don't know, he and I went over the songs at his house extensively, and then we did about three or four recording days and got everything we felt we needed, and then he was off and gone. So, like I say, we had the foundation laid, and I was able to finish it up with a great engineer, studio owner, musician in Cape Cod. Pardon me. And friends of mine, Anthony Crawford and Mark Muller, helped me with a couple of isolated other tracks. So in the end, I kind of just put the puzzle together, but the foundation, thankfully, was laid with John Simon.
Okay. Now, I remember reading years ago when Jackrabbit was out that you and John were butting heads in the studio back in the day. Was there any of that this time, or have you guys both mellowed?
I've butted heads with other people a lot worse than John. I don't remember Jackrabbit as being particularly, confrontational at all. The main problem was that I went and made a record with another producer after Jackrabbit did so well, and, you know, that of course made him a little bit angry at me. I don't blame him. Mm-hmm. I didn't really beat the success of Jackrabbit, but I had a lot of things I wanted to try when I was in my early 20s, and I can see how he wouldn't necessarily understand that, and looking back, I might have done it differently, Tom. But we didn't have any problem in the studio.
Okay. I understand Romeo's Tune, going back to that back in 1980, is kind of getting a resurrection, a new life, if you will. It's going to be in a new film coming out soon?
Right, a Richard Linklater movie that is, as we speak, going to be called Everybody Wants Some. It was under a working title of That's What I'm Talking About. But that's been in the works for a few months now, and fortunately, good old Romeo's Tune has made the cut and has not been edited out. And I think it's going to be played, you know, more than 10 or 15 or 20 seconds. I think it's going to be a pretty good little segment for you know, good old Romeo's Tune.
Now, is it? Do you know where in the film it's going to be placed?
I don't have any. I don't have any idea, but they tell me it's going to be, you know, pretty lengthy scene.
Okay. Any specific reason why Linklater chose that song? Do you know? Is there a connection to the song with him? Are you privy to any of that?
I don't know. The song was also used once in a movie called Fight Club. I think people like to take the happy, positive attitude of that song and juxtapose it with something aggressive or I don't know what's going to happen here.
Well, here it is, the first breakthrough song from my guest Steve Forber, taking you back to the Jackrabbit Slim album of 1979 and a top 15 hit, Romeo's Tune.
Everything's okay. Bring me southern kisses from your room. Meet me in the middle of the night. Let me hear you say everything's alright. Let me smell the moon in your perfume. Oh, gods and years will rise and fall, and there's always something more. Lost in talk, I waste my time, and it's all been said before. While further down behind the masquerade, are there. I don't ask for all that much, I just want someone to care. That's right now. Meet me in the middle of the day, let me hear you say everything's okay. Come on out beneath the shining sun. Meet me in the middle of the night, let me hear you say everything's alright. Sneak on out beneath the stars and run. We'll weather down behind the light and fade like magazines. Meet me in the middle of the day, let me hear you say everything's okay. Bring me southern kisses from your room. Hey, hey, meet me in the middle of the night, let me hear you say everything's alright. Let me smell the moon in your perfume.
That's the song that started it all for my guest this evening, singer-songwriter Steve Forbert, going back to his 1979 album Jackrabbit Slim and Romeo's Tune. You'll be hearing that one soon from the silver screen in a new Richard Linklater film coming out hopefully this coming year. Steve, it's awful cool that that song's being resurrected, but on a personal level, is it annoying to you or frustrating when you've got, what, 14 albums of songs that are equally good, in my opinion, but they keep going back to this song that you wrote 35, almost 40 years ago?
Well, look, that's a kind of, believe it or not, that's a fun question. I always try to write the best songs I can, and I think there have been some winners through the years, but and I wish I had four or five or six other, you know, hits like some people, everybody from, you know, Steve Winwood to Stevie Wonder. But that's the one that just came together with the right recording, the right musicians, you know, the right song and the right record company and the right vibe out there with the public. So it's helped me a lot. I would certainly rather have that one than none, Tom. So
right.
I'll just keep at it, and we'll see if anybody likes this record.
All right. Sean Mullins, I had him on the show not too long ago, and of course he had the same kind of situation, an early hit with Lullaby. He told me that songs tend to write themselves, that you just let them come out, that you don't try to sit and force them and write another follow-up hit. Are you do you subscribe to that train of thought?
Sometimes it happens that way. But if you, in my experience, if you just wait for them to sort of develop themselves and pop out fully formed, you're not going to write many songs. A lot of it involves taking the time and sitting down and chipping away at them. And in recent years, to me, it's a commitment. Excuse me. When you get what you think is a good idea for a song, it may take weeks for me to finish one. But that's sort of my agreement with myself, that if whatever it takes, I just work on it till I think it's up to par. So very few of them write themselves. I know what Sean's talking about. I've had a couple that did, but I wouldn't have much of a catalog if I were relying on that kind of, shall we say, synchronicity.
Okay. As a songwriter, you brought up an interesting point. How do you know, as the songwriter, when a song is finished, when it's time to stop tweaking it, stop revisiting it, and just leave it be?
I just know. I guess really for someone as obsessive as me, like when I can't find a way to tweak it anymore, by God, it is actually done.
All right. Aside from promoting Compromised, are there any other projects on your plate at this time? Are you writing for any other releases or any other films or things like that?
Well, I say well a lot, don't I?
You do.
Well, comma, I'm like a lot of people that have been around for a few decades. I decided to try to write some of my experiences, put them in what could be called a memoir. And I've been working on that for about 2 years now. I know it will come out in 2016. And that's taken a lot of energy and really, you know, took me through a tour of the past here in the last year or so.
Well, it's time to sample another cut from your new album, Compromised.
Oh no, here we go again, by God. I've done nothing, can't you see? Say hi to people, that's not odd. You say, who is she to me? Just some gal whose name I can't recall. So I said, she's looking good. I just meant she's aging well, that's all. You would take it like you would. Oh, sit back down and drink red wine. Sometimes.
listening to Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm Tom Lounges, your host. Tonight, my guest is Steve Forbert. You've had a lot of well-known performers cover your music in the past. Keith Urban, Roseanne Cash, who just got into the Hall of Fame, the Songwriters Hall of Fame. Congrats to her. Do you actively shop songs to people, or do they just gravitate to you?
I've tried to shop them through the years, especially when I was living full-time in Nashville, you know, which was some of the 80s, the 90s, and the aughts. But, Tom, it never seems to work. People want what they want, and, you know, they kind of just find their way to a song. The ones of mine, I'm always surprised that it happens. And no matter how hard I've tried to get songs to people, it never does any good. So I would say definitely, you know, the other is the answer.
Okay. Do you ever write songs with a specific artist in mind, or do you just write for yourself and see what happens?
Strictly the latter.
Okay.
I work on them. I accumulate ideas, bits of paper. I try to put them all together or hack away at them for weeks. And I'm just going with the inspiration.
Of the folks that have covered your songs, are there any in particular that you're exceptionally happy with, proud of, where they really hit the mark, in your opinion?
Well, I was surprised that Roseanne Cash even did What Kind of Guy, you know, and of course she changed it to What Kind of Girl, so that was a pleasant surprise. And I thought Keith Urban did a pretty faithful version of Romeo's Tune. He added that banjo sound he works with. But that was nice, so those two come to mind.
You mentioned Nashville. You grew up in Meridian, Mississippi. You made your bones in Greenwich Village in New York, spent some time in Nashville. Where do you hang your hat these days? Where's home for you?
Mostly here on the Jersey Shore. My girlfriend of 15 years lives here, and now that my own kids have grown up in Tennessee and gone their own ways, I spend more time here on the Jersey Shore. It's more of a rock and roll scene than a country scene, and it's a really good area.
Talking about rock and roll, 1980, when Romeo's Tune hit, it was the height of new wave. Everything was synthesizers, and the punk rock years were still there. Romeo's Tune came out of nowhere and charted in the top 20. Did that take you by surprise, that here's this song that you did that didn't fit the trend at the time, but yep, became your biggest hit?
Not really. We tried as hard as we could to make that thing up a hit record, and I didn't really have the objectivity or the perspective at the time to think that it was that odd. You're right. But at the time, I was just going with the catchiest, obvious single that we worked on to try to make it a realization, you know. And it caught on really quickly. I didn't know that there wouldn't be more of that sort of recording on the radio. I didn't know that times were changing as fast as they were. I just didn't have that objectivity. It just didn't seem to me like it had been that long since Diamond Girl by Sills and Cross or, you know, a Gordon Lightfoot hit. I thought it, you know, there still might be some more room for that kind of folk pop.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I know that times were changing pretty hard.
Right. Fast and furious back then.
Yeah.
Are you working any specific songs off the new record, Compromise, as far as, and I hate to say singles because there really aren't singles anymore, but something that you're pushing more so than others to radio and...
Well, to be honest with you, we're trying to make that decision right now. Sometimes I think rolling home to someone you love and...
Rolling home to someone you love. Sure makes life worthwhile. Big shiny moon up above, rolling down a sycamore mile. Rolling down a sycamore mile. Rolling home to someone you love. Sure makes life alright. All they've been pushed can be shoved. Gonna have a sweet Tuesday night. Gonna have a sweet Tuesday night. And here comes that red light. It beats all I've ever seen. How much of my life does it take? I'll cut all my headlights while I wait for the green. Waiting with my foot on the brake. I'm rolling home to someone you love. Sure makes life okay. I'll ride that road to where going home the fastest away. Going home the fastest away.
Listening to Midwest Beat, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm Tom Lounges, your host. Tonight, my guest is Steve Forbert. Fans will find his latest album, Compromise, now available both at brick-and-mortar retail stores and online music sites. From his new album, Compromised, released on Rock Ridge Records, it's available now in stores and online music sites. Interesting choice of titles. Obviously, Compromise is a song, but the title of the album, that maybe will raise a few eyebrows. It's definitely not a compromised album in any way. Is there a reason you chose that title?
I think it's just that, you know, at 60, I'm a bit compromised, but to clarify the word, I just mean like, you know, maybe that highway between Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and Meridian, Mississippi is a bit compromised. You know, maybe a little the worse for wear and tear, but still, you know, still stretching, rolling along.
What are your expectations for this album and all the newer albums that you're bound to create in years to come? Obviously, rock and roll and the pop charts is a young man's game. As you mentioned, 60, I'm in my 50s, but we're still trucking on, as we used to say. What are your expectations when you sit down and you record an album and then you release it and say, okay, let's see what happens?
It's really let's see what happens. It really is like that. I don't have any illusions about cracking the top 40. That would be really strange. The music you hear out there that supposedly represents America on pop radio, there's no place for me in it. My expectation is just to get a horse in the race and see if people like it, and really, Tom, just to sustain what I'm already doing, to be honest. Make the record for people that will enjoy it, and just let people know that I'm still chasing that inspiration and trying to create something and giving it what, you know, everything I've got. But it's really just to keep doing this, and you want to have new material and you want to keep writing songs.
One song in particular, if you could tell me a little story behind it, and that is Devil, Here She Comes Now. It seems like a tip of the hat to Mitch Ryder and the old school, the nostalgic sound of rock. Is there a story behind that song?
Well, it's a pretty lusty thing. It's probably the most lusty thing I've ever written, certainly more so than, say, even Ya Ya on the fourth record or Romeo's Tune or certain younger love songs. I thought when I started writing it was becoming that. Here She Comes Now with the Blue Dress on, Devil with the Blue Dress. And I thought, well, you know, that's Mitch Ryder kind of covered this. Then the songwriting side of me just said, I know, but if it seems right, just go with it. And it's working. Let's just finish it. So kind of against my better judgment, I wrote a new song that basically says, here comes the devil with the blue dress on. Fortunately, it's a completely different groove, and I think the lyrics are they're fine. You know, they're just fine. A lot of people are going to think they've already heard the song just because of Mitch Ryder, but it's a new beast.
It's got that familiarity, but it's kind of a nod to Mitch in its own way. It's another one of my favorites on the album, so I'm glad you decided to finish that.
Yeah, against my better judgment, but I like it.
Here she comes now with the blue dress on and a flower in her dark brown hair. I wonder what it's like when the dress is gone and she's lying on the bed somewhere. Devil with the blue dress, devil with the blue dress on. Devil with the blue dress, devil with the blue dress on. Here she come now with the blue dress on. At least her legs and arms are bare. Underneath the dress she be flesh and bone, and I wonder what it feels like there. Devil with a blue dress, devil with a blue dress on. Devil with a blue dress, devil with a blue dress on. Devil in a blue dress, devil at odds with everything I'm supposed to be. Devil in a blue dress, trying to make a mess of me. Cause I've been building a life with a beautiful wife, like an angel heaven sent to me. But I'll be walking downtown and look around and there's Cassandra Lee.
Midwest Beats, a program all about music and the people who make it. I'm Tom Lounge, your host. That was a tasty roots rocker called Devil, Here She Comes Now, from my musical guest, Steve Forbert, from his new album, Compromised, released on Rock Ridge Records. It's available now in stores and online music sites. What is the best single piece of advice you could give to a young songwriter or someone trying to do what you've done and have a career in music?
I have to really think for a second because it's so different now. If someone really wants to do it, I always think that a person has to pursue their dreams. I've gone to lengths to let my daughter Catherine pursue her dreams, a little outside of, shall we say, going to a Southeastern college for 4 years and stuff. So I would certainly encourage them, and if there's something you got to do, then you just got to do it. But it is a different game now. It's so streamlined, and it is so and the recordings are so perfected and so technologically dominated. You'd really have to love what you were doing to get out and forge a way in pop music today. But someone like Jason Isbell, he's hot as a pizzle right now, so it can be done.
In closing, Steve, is there anything we haven't talked about that you'd like to let people know?
We've covered a lot, and I'm pleasantly surprised. We have covered a lot. You were really well prepared, and I appreciate it. But I would just say, I guess, you know, really good planets are hard to find. And one of my concerns is I think we should be careful in this country not to waste so much, particularly food. I'm a big recycler, and I think we should at least try to not waste as much. If we can't save the planet, let's at least not be so wasteful, you know, in what ways we can avoid that.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us today here on Midwest Beat.
Well, my pleasure. I'm glad to talk to you, and I'll see you when it gets good and cold. So long.